Good morning, Gamecock fans. Today's Monday, June 1st, the year of our Lord 2026. This is Coffee with JC Sherbert. Have to apologize in advance. I know I seem like I'm doing that a lot lately. Gonna be a little shorter episode this morning, first of the month. Problems, all that good stuff, but certainly good to be with you. I'm gonna start right off with what's at the top of everyone's brain right now, if you're a Carolina fan, or most of you. The baseball coaching search last night, Jamie Bradford all over it. I had a report up on thebigspur.com. You can still join the Big Spur and Gamecock Central for a dollar. You get 2 months for a dollar now because we've been at it for a month. and then, you know, free into our free $1 until preseason camp starts for football. Then we get to it. There's been plenty of you that have joined, and I certainly appreciate that. But Kevin Schnall from Coastal Carolina continues to be the leader in the clubhouse as far as our intel is concerned. Got some reinforcement about that last night, you know, from a call, talking to a couple of folks that I talked to, and also talking with JB. JB will be on later today. You can pepper him with questions. Wes Mitchell from Gamecock Central, who's really good. I encourage everybody to check out Wes and Chris's GC Live podcast. Also, Jack Veltri does some things with GC Live. Game is on the Gamecock Central Podcast Network on Spotify, Amazon. You know, we're partners now. It's all one subscription, not competing anymore. It sounds weird. It's like McDonald's and Wendy's getting together. But hey, you know what? I'm here for it. If I'm going to go into sometimes I just want a Big Mac and a Frosty, right? Anyway, check that out. It's on the On3 network. And by the way, there's a lot going on with the SEC that I want to get into. I mean, this bill in the Senate, the fact that the SEC is now not wanting them. I mean, I'm just beside myself. But Pete Nakos, Chris Lowe, Andy Staples, our national team at On3, it's the best college football coverage. If you just want, like, the story, Ross Dellinger as well. If you just want the story, you don't really want people to pontificate and do what I call in journalism now the doctrine of ooh wee, like ooh wee, you know, like most of these guys, like some of these guys from The Athletic, they'll write the story, but then they're going to weave their opinion that, you know, and they're obviously are all like way into unionization and way into athletes getting 70% of the revenue and all that stuff, which just is not going to happen. But then they're going to come back and make it into a victimization thing and all that. Some of them, but they weave all that in there. The only three guys don't, you know, it is straight, unless it's an opinion piece. And Andy does some really good columns. You know, Andy Staples has some opinions and that's fine. I mean, but it's clearly an opinion piece. You know, these guys are just writing the facts. They just bring the facts. And I think in this world these days, we sort of need that, right? I think we, with everything on social media and the news and all that, and with sports and all these changes in college football, you need a lifeline sometimes. You know, not that none of you are, I mean, I think we're all pretty intelligent and can kind of sift through it at times, but sometimes it's just exhausting, you know, and you just don't know. And you're just kind of sitting there wondering like what this, well, anyway, On3 has all that. You can join for a dollar. You get all the On3 stuff, the national stuff. The recruiting guys at On3 are really good too. Chad Simmons is all over a lot of the players that the Gamecocks are recruiting. And that is, you know, this weekend as they continue to try to put together this class of 2027. Matt Anderson, who we all know and love, will be out at Shane Beamer's camp this week, along with Rob Williams from Four Quarter Friday. So you want to check that out on the website as well. But Wes Mitchell's on the day. Phil and I'll be on the day. Catch ITG and all that good stuff. So Kevin Schnall continues to be the leader. And here's the thing. I wanted to say this quickly about baseball. I keep reading, you know, it's, whether it's fans or whether it's just, you know, here's the thing. I'm a little bit different than, and I think JB agrees with me on this, but he's really stressed about the, I guess the need to build a foundation for your program with high school recruiting. in baseball, and I agree with that. I'm here for it. I think that baseball is not like basketball these days, or basketball is these days, where you're turning over all your roster. There's still those high school guys that come in and develop. You see them all over the SEC. I think in baseball, the JUCO recruiting is still there. Unlike basketball, it's almost just completely dead. Football, it's rare, right? But there's still a lot of JUCO recruiting that takes place in that sport because it's different. It's unique in the sense that you have guys that are the same age that are kind of at different levels. You have some guys that still go pro out of high school and things like that. But the transfer portal still is there and it still matters. I agree that you can't just kind of flip the whole thing in a desperate attempt to win right away. But I do think this. And if you think about this too, man, even the last 2 years, which were bad, and maybe these guys don't have to start or play, but you had two freshmen last year, Bo Hollins and KJ Scobie. And then this year, a freshman was one of your best players in Will Craddock. Two of those guys are in-state guys, by the way. I still think there's a place for that, even if you're portal heavy. Now, if it's Schnall or whoever else, Steve Sabins, Dan Fitzgerald, Holiday from Oklahoma State is a guy that's kind of entered the chat. I don't think he's going to be a dude that they sign, but he's really good. We all remember 10 years ago, he put the Gamecocks out, put Clemson. They came to South Carolina and took out Clemson and Carolina in back-to-back weeks. So, and so whoever it is, and then given the NIL portion of it, because that's kind of what talks in any sport as far as the portal goes. If they get Schnall and they get him done this week, the portal just opened today. I don't see any reason, like, because the good news, the bad news is you had a lot of transfers and it didn't work out. The good news is you had a lot of transfers and it didn't work out. So you don't have, oftentimes you'll have dead weight. Like if you don't recruit well at the high school ranks and you inherit some guys that aren't very good, and then you have to rely on freshmen, in the old days or other types of transfers or JUCO, it's a rebuild, right? And South Carolina baseball is a rebuild. Good Lord, folks. I mean, I think their record against power conference competition is something like 14-56 the last 2 years. I may be wrong about that, but it was 6-29 a year ago because they lost to all the it was 6-24. You count the SEC tournament loss, right? That's happened even when they're good. And then they have four losses to Clemson and UNC. So 6-29. Okay, so this year, 7-23 in the league. And man, when they got to like 7 wins, I thought surely. I think they were at 1.7-13. They were in the Kentucky series. I thought surely they would be double digit wins. I thought, there's no, little did I know. So then the SEC tournament loss at 7-24. And they lost North Carolina 7-25. They did beat Clemson and then 8-27. So 14-56. I was right. So they have lost 56 of 70 power conference games as a program. And let me just throw this at you. This started at the end of Kingston's last year when they lost their last six regular season SEC games and plummeted out of regional hosting contention. They did rally in the SEC tournament to win three games in that, but then lost to NC State in the regional. So they finished 3-9 under Kingston against power competition. That is 17-65. That's an 82 game. It's almost if you, we'll take one of the losses off. That's half a major league season at 81 games at 17-64. So yeah, it's a rebuild. It's in the gutter. You got to get it out of the gutter. But my point is, you can turn it quickly. Now, what I don't want to do is, hamstring the head coach and get everybody out there going demanding Omaha next year or returning to the tournament. But I don't really see any reason why this team can't get back to normal. Kind of like a 2024 season. I mean, you look at Kentucky this year. They weren't particularly good during the regular season. Well, they're in the regional now, fighting their butts off against West Virginia. So look, I sort of think that it's one of those things. I think that reaction is more of oh, we're gonna have to have a bad year to build it and all that. Yeah, I don't know that that's the case, and I don't know that Kevin Schnall, whoever else takes this job, will agree. Now, depending on what they leave behind at their old school, and I've not researched that, will it be as good as their team they've been building yet? Probably not. Will it be one of the best teams in Carolina history? A mirror, this crazy turnaround? No, probably not. Coaches still have to get in and figure it out and hit their stride. But I don't see any reason why in the next 30 days, the trajectory of this program cannot be changed beyond coaching, with player acquisition. It's important to find a guy that can find players that can recruit and all that. And I think everybody on the list can. So, I just was reading a lot of that and I was like, oh, I don't know. I don't know that it's that far gone. I mean, you're talking about in basketball, where Carolina's historically struggled worse, where they have less access to talent players, spending millions of dollars to get to the NCAA tournament next year, which has only happened six times in 50 plus years. So why can't baseball, and I'm not predicting that for basketball. I'm just saying that's kind of the expectation. So if those are going to be the expectations for that sport, I mean, the expectation of football is turn it around. And Carolina has a chance to be pretty good in football this year. I kind of feel the same way about 2024. It's kind of funny because, like, in the 2023 and 2025 preseasons, you had a big neutral site opener and that kind of helped. But in football, I think there's a lot of confidence, good feelings. Everybody's ready for the season to start. Yeah, 2024. And then Old Dominion was a great escape. It was like, oh man, it's terrible. Then one sunny day in Lexington, Kentucky, things changed over a matter of hours. You went from a double-digit underdog to Kentucky to a 25-point dominating win, and then game day's coming the next week. Crazy. Crazy how things turn. See, that's what I'm talking about with baseball. So yeah, just keep an eye on it. We're gonna keep you updated. If it's Kevin Schnall, I don't expect this thing to go too terribly long, and I believe it is. But the deal, there's no done deal, and so there may be some negotiating points, all that good stuff. I know that on Schnall's end, and I believe on Carolina's end too. Because the whole word from the Carolina end of things last week was, well, we're in a holding pattern because everybody's got to be aware of the portal being open and stuff. Now, for the right guy, do you wait? Yeah. But if Schnall's your guy, he's available. And so we'll see kind of how all that shakes out. But I'm sure JB will talk about it and get everything going. But I'm looking forward to this. I'm not going to predict championships for anybody, right? Not these days, not anywhere, because it's just too volatile of a landscape in college sports. But I am looking forward to, and then actually, I'm enthusiastic about seeing how the new coach brings it all together. Portal, roster, recruiting, assistant coaches. Staff. I mean, it's going to be fun to see, because I think this hire, it's going to be a different type of hire, in terms of this hire is going to kind of remake Carolina baseball. Because think about who's been there and coached. You've had Chad Holbrook, who was an internal promotion, a lot of leftover folks from Tanner. Mark Kingston ended up having some guys come back that were familiar with Tanner in South Carolina after bringing in kind of, I guess, some of his staff, Skylar Meade and those guys. And so you got that. And so it's had kind of that era flavor. I'm not saying Ray Tanner was running the baseball program because that people there are people out there that are going to believe that. That's not true. But he's a championship level coach with high level assistants. And some of them wanted to come back. I mean, there's no issue with that. But, so if you look through it, some flavor there. And then there's still Monty Lee on the staff with Paul Maneri. And I think he was the only one. Maneri kind of brought in his guys. But so you had two hires in Holbrook and Kingston that, one's an assistant that was promoted from within, one's a mid-major coach getting his big break. Okay. And both of those guys, I think, Chad was just continuing what was going on. And then Kingston, I think, got here and kind of felt his way through. And really, kind of by the time he figured it out, it was almost too late. And so you had that. And then Maneri came in, and that's kind of the guy on the other side of his career. And it just didn't work. This one. You're even if it's Schnall, who's a mid-major coach. I mean, Mark Kingston did not go to the final series in Omaha at a mid-major. Mark Kingston was not on a staff. He was on staff at Tulane when they were really, really good, but he was not on a staff that won a national championship at a mid-major. Schnall's a little bit different type of guy, and so, I think that. This is going to be a transformational hire from the sense that this is a new era. Not that Maneri and Kingston and I think subconsciously people will think that because Tanner is the one hired them. This is a new era. And remember when Ray Tanner himself was hired. When Ray Tanner was hired, he was at NC State. Oh, he's an alma mater. He had been there for 8 years and played there and been an assistant there under Sammy Esposito. And he came on down the road to South Carolina. And that was a break from the previous era with Bobby Richardson. And then his assistant, June Raines, took over for years, almost 2 decades, 22 years. And so this is kind of another break. You could divide it up, as far as. I'll just put it this way. You can see a new era coming. All right, so that's baseball for today. I got to talk a little bit of football here because it's coffee and it's football, right? Okay, so there's a visit weekend this weekend, and I'm just going to go through these guys. So a three-star corner, 6'4" nickel corner, Kevin Millington is coming in. He's a guy they've had their eye on. They kind of offered a few weeks ago, South Carolina. I like his length and athleticism. He's going to have to develop. I don't think he's a guy that's ready to go, but he's the type of player that Torian Gray really likes and can, get a lot out of. Jackson Ross, David Ross, from basketball player from back in the 90s, really good shooter. Eddie Fogler era. His son from Hammond coming in. I think that Virginia Tech, Texas Tech. Are those the three for him? He's got a final three. The Gamecocks are in it. Makai Allen, 4-star from New Jersey, and Don Bosco visited A&M this past weekend. Think he's going to end up at Texas A&M at the end of the day. Not visiting this weekend. So there's that. Success, Nwabude. From Athens Christian, 6'7", kind of like a Quay Dodd, kind of like a guy you take and develop. He's coming in. He's got a Georgia offer, kind of under the radar. Troup County, 3-star running back, Javaris Warner is another running back on the list, the board. He's coming in. Commitments, Javian Robinson, DJ Huggins, Will Endicott, Jackson Elston. They're all coming in this weekend. Nate Komba is a 4-star defensive lineman from Corvian Community in Charlotte. I like athletic guy, D tackle. So, not the biggest visit weekend. The next two are obviously has some headliners. Fred Ards visited A&M this past weekend. You wonder kind of if that shook things up. I expect it to a little bit. I thought Carolina led after his visit. I expect A&M to maybe creep back in there, but I think it'll go back and forth, leading up to a decision. Once they start visiting a lot of different schools and they kind of like a lot of different schools, and then it kind of these days comes down to this negotiation. A lot of times, unfortunately, it comes if they like the two schools equally, it comes down to money. So we'll see what happens with all of that. But yeah, recruiting weekend this weekend. I think South Carolina, as far as the overall class goes, I think this class is going to end up being ranked higher than it is. It's kind of thinking of the 30s right now. I expect it to continue to move up. And then I'll say this too. I think that the headwinds, as far as the hot seat talk and all that happy jazz with the high school guys, probably will end up not hurting them as long as they have a good season. I'll put it that way. And look, sometimes you think guys will flip and they don't. Tamarian Watkins last year is an example of that. Everybody in Rock Hill thought he'd eventually flip and he didn't. He went to A&M. It's probably because everybody in Rock Hill was talking about it, right? I think we know the reason. But it's one of those things that I don't like to just say definitely will flip. But let's just say this percentage-wise, I think Carolina will have a shot at some of these guys, especially in-state or long-time leans or whatever, if they have a good season. And I'm not saying this staff can't overcome that either. I think that they've done a good job doing that so far. So we'll see sort of what happens there. But keep it locked and loaded to GamecockCentral.com, TheBigSpur.com. And on three for all the recruiting coverage this weekend heading into it. Plus camp coverage. Like I said, there's going to be a lot of players, a lot of underclassmen in the state of South Carolina right now. Wes had a really good article on Gamecock Central about that, breaking down some of the guys. It looks loaded right now. But I'll say this too, and I agree with everything Wes said about all the players. Sometimes guys leave, and then say, the last couple of years you've looked at the 2026 class and it looked pretty loaded, and I think it was pretty good, right? But Donovan Murph and Jordan Gidron were supposed to be highly ranked, and they ended up reclassifying. This year, Sequel Patterson reclassified. Josh Dobson went to North Carolina, so there you go. And then so sometimes they change when you do it early. I mean, the class with Xavier Thomas, I think, went and Stephon Wynn both went to IMG. I think that was the same class. That class was like that. I mean, 2 years out, it looked great, but then, well, those guys are technically Florida prospects, right? So you got to keep that in mind when you're trucking down the road as far as official visits go. The next weekend, June 12th, right now, scheduled Jaden Bryant from Irmo, KJ Green from Georgia, Chris Whitehead from Virginia. All are blue chip edge rushers. Jaboy Smith from Swainsboro, Georgia, committed to Florida. So it was A&M a couple weeks ago. Now it's Florida. This guy here, Antoine McCoy, defensive tackle from St. Paul's, Eastern North Carolina. Keep an eye on him. Georgia, South Carolina battle. Trey Gathers, we had an update on the site from Chad Simmons on him. Tennessee, South Carolina, right now. Linebacker, big safety type. That is the son of Robert Gathers, the nephew of Clifton Gathers. Robert Gathers, of course, played at Georgia. Clifton played at South Carolina. And I said this, there's never been a Gathers to not work out from their uncle to, I mean, all of them. Even Clayton Gathers, he was a safety. Most of the Gathers are defensive linemen, linebackers, pass rusher types. Clayton was a safety and went to UCF. And that was one of the biggest mistakes in the Spurrier era in recruiting because Carolina didn't have any safeties. And then this guy just go to UCF and he ended up in the NFL. There's never been a Gathers not workout. Now, Trey is not at Carver's Bay. He's at Providence Day School in Charlotte. So we'll see how it works out. This kid Clayton Lee, too, from Callahan, Florida, big 6'7" offensive tackle. He's coming in for a visit, scheduled to come in for a visit. They keep an eye on him as well. He's one they felt really good about a few weeks ago. And then, of course, moving forward to the big weekend, Wing Weekend, by the way, the Wing Off, CB 90 or CB 18 Bar and Grill, for the third straight year. Please RSVP. Go to cockyhospitality.com. It's a free event. Gonna have raffles, fun, wing eating contest. It's always a great time just to kind of hang out with Gamecock fans, meet some players, meet some dignitaries, raise a little money for NIL. It's awesome. But Josh Dobson, the five-star corner, is coming in. You've got a safety coming in, four-star scheduled Jaden Aparicio Bailey from Prattville, Alabama. He's a big-time safety. Jannard Albright's a big-time safety. Committed to the Gamecocks coming in. Davion Jones was another four-star safety coming in. Trey Segarra is coming in. John Archer, who's committed, is coming in. Nate Carson from Irmo coming in. This receiver from Cincinnati Withrow, Chuck Alexander's coming in. Junior Saunders, the offensive tackle from Virginia, is scheduled. I'm not sure if he makes it or not. I don't know if that's still on the agenda. He had a really good unofficial visit, but since then he's kind of things have kind of cooled off. So those are all your visits that are scheduled right now. Now these all it's always subject to change. You know, plans will be canceled on Carolina's end or on the end of the prospect at times. Sometimes they'll reschedule. Sometimes they'll bring guys in, and it's kind of a last minute thing, and it's not on the schedule. So we'll see. But there's enough here, folks, I think, to have another really good, let's call it small but mighty recruiting class for Shane Beamer and company. All right, check out Wes Mitchell on the morning show this morning. Check me out and Phil Mullinax out on the show. And I'll see you guys here in a little bit, in a few hours. It's been Coffee with JC Sherbert. Hope you have a wonderful, wonderful Monday. It's June already, folks. May just flew by. All right, holla.